Sota, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Base 4-2. In the previous Mishnah, we had two categories of women who weren't entitled to drink from the Maim Hamarim. The first category were women who weren't Tachas Isha, they weren't fully married. That was the Arus and Lishmeras Yavam. And then we had a variety of different women or marriages that were against Halacha. Some were the Raisa, some were the Rabban. And again, since we didn't want the marriage to persist, so we did not allow her to drink the waters. Here in Mishnah Base, we'll have three more categories of women that don't drink the Maim Hamarim, and they have different halachas. The first category are women which I'll call it, it's her fault she's not drinking, and therefore the halacha will be for that first group that she is going to forfeit her ksuba when she gets divorced. The second category will be what I'll call his fault right now, and that means that since it's his fault that she's not drinking the water, she will not forfeit her ksuba. She gets divorced and gets her ksuba payment. And then the third category is where the husband dies prior to being able to drink. And then we have a machlokas, whether or not she gets paid her ksuba. So let's take each one in turn. First it says the Mishnah Base begins, Ve'elu lo shosos v'lo notlos ksuba. This category are women that don't drink, and therefore they're going to get divorced, and they're not going to get their ksuba. They forfeit their ksuba payment. So in this third category, we have three women. 3A is Ha'omeres Temeya Ani, a woman who confesses that she was adulterous. And that being the case, certainly we're not going to give her the waters to prove her innocence. There's no point in that. She's guilty by her own admission. And therefore, even though we don't punish her, because a woman isn't punished by her own admission, as we said before, she certainly has brought this marriage to an end. And that being the case, she is to be divorced and she forfeits her ksuba without drinking the waters. The second, I'll call it 3B, is Vishoba'u La'edim Shehitameya. That witnesses come and they testify that she was adulterous. So then those witnesses saw her with another man be together, so then they will obviate the need for her to drink the waters because she's obviously guilty. Therefore, she will not be drinking. There, she could get punished potentially, depending on what happened. The third category is V'homeris Eini Shosa. The third category is a woman who is simply refusing to drink the water. And that can happen any time in the process. We said up until the time that they erase Hashem's name, they're not going to force her to drink. So if she says, listen, this whole procedure is demeaning, it's terrifying, it's humiliating, I'm not doing it. I'm innocent, but I'm not doing it. So since she's not doing it, so then she will have to get divorced and she will forfeit her ksuba. Even though she's insisting she's innocent and we can't prove she's guilty, she still forfeits her ksuba because she definitely behaved improperly as much as she had kinui and stira. So that was enough now that since she's not drinking to prove her innocence, she is going to be the one responsible for forfeiting her ksuba. That was that category. Now the next category, we'll call it category 4 if you will, or the second of this Mishnah, is when it's, so to speak, his fault. The Mishnah says, and the din will be therefore she gets divorced, but does, yes, get her ksuba. So it says, Amar Ba'ala, if her husband says, Eini Mashka, he says, no, I'm not making her drink the waters. He doesn't want to let her drink the waters. So listen, he always could have divorced her. And if he divorced her, he has divorced her and he has a pair of ksuba. Here the thought is that along the way, he just says, I've changed my mind. I don't want to give her to drink. I don't want to be humiliated or degraded or die from this or whatever it is. Doesn't matter if he thinks it's innocent or guilty, makes no difference. Since she's not drinking because he's not letting her drink, because he said we're not going forward with this, it's not her fault. And that being the case, as we'll see in a second, she gets her ksuba. Also, v'shebala ba'aleh baderech, if her husband slept with her, the words mean here on the way, and it's a reference to on the way from her local Bezdin, he slept with her as they were going up to Yerushalayim. But the truth is, that's just an example. If he would sleep with her any time after Stira, so now that was against Halacha, and he's no longer like Nakim Avon, he's no longer innocent from sin in this context. And that being the case, the waters wouldn't work for him anyways, because Hashem is not going to intervene in this miraculous way for a person who doesn't deserve it, like this guy, for marriage which isn't appropriate, as theirs isn't. And that being the case, she doesn't get to drink the waters, but it's his fault. No one told him to sleep with her. And that being the case, she gets divorced. In those two cases, notelis ksuba, excuse me, notelis ksuba sa, she takes her ksuba, velo shosa, but she does not drink. Okay, now the third case, of our Mishnah, third category of our Mishnah, if you will, is where Mesu Ba'alein Ad Shloshasu, where the husband dies prior to her being able to drink the water. So she was intending on drinking, but now he is dead. And because he's dead, and the Pasuk says, Dehevi ha'ish es ishto el ha'kohen, the Pasuk in Pasuk Tezvav of Bamidbar Hei says, the husband brings his wife to the Kohen, and he's not going to be doing that because he's no longer alive. Therefore, we can't carry out this Mayim Hamarim procedure. And that being the case, so she's not going to drink. And that being the case, she's now stuck. The question is, she's going to become now into like a, I'll call it a tug of war or a fight with her, with his heirs, his children, who now own a piece of property, but she says that's mine, and they say no, it's ours. So who gets it? This is a machlokas, and the machlokas is tim beisham beisil beishamai omrim notlos ksuba veloshosos. Beisham, I hold she can't drink the water, but she will collect on her ksuba, even though she doesn't drink. And beisil omrim lo shosos velo notlos ksuba. Beisil say yes, it's true she doesn't drink, but she does not get paid her ksuba. Instead, she she leaves without a ksuba. Now, the base of this machlokas is not what you probably think. You probably think it's something like, you know, is it her fault? Isn't her fault? She's trying her best. She should have a chance to prove herself, but now she can't, or something like that. That's not the point here. The point here, the pivotal issue upon which the machlokas rests is a more global issue, and it has to do with Shtarei Chov, like I'll call them contracts in general. So Beis Shammai have a general principle that in all contracts, like IOUs, you know, indentures, ksubas, whatever it is, where it says that Mr. A owes Mr. B, if in that contract Mr. B has a lien, a shibud, on specific property, a karka, so then Beis Shammai hold, it's as if he's already collected it. It's like already been handed over. In other words, the lien on the property in the contract, the IOU, the ksuba, since this is a lien on a particular property, it's as if he's collected it now. The exact technical words for this this principle of Beis Shammai is shtar chov ha'omid legavos kegavoihu. A shtar chov, a contract, an IOU, that is ready to be collected because there's a specific lien on a property, it's as if it has already been collected. That lien property has already been collected upon. That's Beis Shammai's principle in general. It applies, like I said, not just to a ksuba, but this is a ksuba. So here the woman has a ksuba. Let's just say that the husband had one property, that property was worth 200 zuz, she was owed 200 zuz in her ksuba. So she's saying, that property is mine now, while I'm still married. So now, and they're of course disputing with her, but here's the deal. When now she's fighting with them, she's saying, I'm entitled by my ksuba to that property. They're saying, well, you're in violation of your ksuba because you had an affair with another man. She says, no, I didn't. They say, yes, you did. We don't know the answer is the bezin because, well, there was kinu and stira, and therefore there's circumstantial and incriminating evidence. There's still no conclusive evidence. We don't have proof that she was adulterous. And therefore, there's a suffix. We just don't know who's right. When you have a suffix over a piece of property to whom it belongs, which is what's happening over here, so the principle always is that the muchzuk, the presumptive owner, is the one who keeps the property. In other words, the rule of chazaka to resolve this suffix is what comes into play. And the chazaka basically says, we maintain the status quo. So whoever currently is the muchzuk, the presumptive owner, he gets to keep the property. So according to Beis Shammai, since Beis Shammai holds shtar chov ha'omed legavos kegavoihu, that if you have a contract which has a lien on a particular property, so then that property is as if it has been collected already, which means that the wife, the widow, she was the muchzeket, she was the muchzuk, she was the one, was the presumptive owner on this property. Because she, as if, says Beis Shammai, it's as if she collected already when her husband died. So therefore, the status quo is it was hers, and therefore, since we don't know who belongs to the suffix, it stays with the presumptive owner, meaning it stays with her. So she gets her ksuba payment from that property. Beis Hillel, however, disagree. Beis Hillel say, in general, again, it's not a sota issue, it's across the board issue. Just because you have a contract, just because it has a lien, just because you know what the property is in the lien that it's specific to, it hasn't been collected yet. And therefore, since you only own a piece of paper, that's your shtar chov, that's your, like, your instrument of indebtedness, contract of a, you know, what you're entitled to something like the ksuba, but you haven't yet collected it. And therefore, in the case where the children of the dead husband are saying it's their house, and she's saying, no, it's my house. So again, Beis Hillel will say, listen, we don't know the answer. We don't know who's right. So we leave it with the muchzik, the presumptive owner, the current owner, the status quo, which is the children, because they are the yorshim, they're the heirs of the father. And the father was the muchzik, the presumptive owner, the status quo was his, until she can take it away. So whether it's Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, both have the principle of hamotzim mechaver olav araya. The property stays with its presumptive owner, and still the person trying to extract it can prove that they're entitled to it. And since this is a suffix situation, a doubtful situation, which we will not be able to resolve, so there's no one's going to bring any rias to prove it's theirs, and therefore it stays with the presumptive owner, with the muchzuk, with the status quo, which according to Beis Shammai is her, because of shtar chov ha'omed legabos kagavuyu, and Beis Hillel say that the presumptive owner, the status quo is to leave it with the children, because even though she has a ksuba, Beis Hillel holds shtar chov ha'omed legabos eino kagavuyu. It's not yet collected until it's been collected. So therefore, since they are the presumptive owners, they keep it, and she's not entitled to ksuba payment without a proof, which she'll never bring. Therefore, she doesn't get any ksuba payment at all, and that's what he says. She doesn't get ksuba payment, and she doesn't drink from the Mechata, may Maim Hamarim, and indeed that is the halacha.